In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. We're going to be looking today at the first Sunday in Lent, and also starting a new section in Dei Verbum, which we'll do first. That section, we're going to be looking at the first two paragraphs of it. The title of the whole section, section 2, is The Word of God and the Church. These first two sections are about the Word and the Lord's presence. And then, next time, we'll begin the Word of God and the Sacred Liturgy, which I think you'll find very helpful and very exciting. So we'll start and do these first two this time. The Lord speaks His Word so that it may be received by those who were created through that same Word. He came among His own. His Word is not something fundamentally alien to us, and creation was willed in a relationship of familiarity with God's own life. So creation is infinitely different than God, but it's intimately connected with God. We depend upon God for existence. And as the text says, you see, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. So the Word, and the Word has an existence in the Verbum Domini, in the Word. That's what He's telling us here. The prologue of the fourth gospel also places us before the rejection of God's Word. Came unto His own, and His own received Him not. His own are the Jewish people. Not to receive Him means not to listen to His voice, not to be conformed to the Logos. And yet, on the other hand, whenever men and women, although frail and sinful, are sincerely open to an encounter with Christ, a radical transformation begins to take place. To all who received Him, He gave power to become children of God. Already the Word present. A wonderful exercise that we might undertake one day is to look at the teaching of the Fathers of the Church on the presence of the Logos to the people. It's remarkable the way they speak. The Logos spoke with Abraham. The Logos saved them. He came unto His own. And His own were the people He chose. You see? And so, whenever people receive Him, He gave power to become children of God. That was in anticipation of the power of the Passion conferred upon us through baptism to become children of God. Okay. St. Thomas says that the rites of the Old Testament, because they pointed ahead, they were images of the rites of the New Testament, which themselves are a participation in the Passion and Resurrection of Christ. You see, he says, our fathers, our Jewish fathers, by observing the sacramenta, as he calls them, of the old law, you see, attained to Christ. Why? Because, as Aristotle says, a movement of the mind toward a symbol, an image, really terminates in the reality itself. And so, as he says, our fathers lived by the same grace we have, meaning our Jewish fathers, who had really faith. And practiced the sacraments and read the Word. As Augustine says the same thing. Didymus the Blind says the same thing. Okay. To receive the Word means to let oneself be shaped by Him, and thus to be conformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to Christ, the only Son from the Father. It's the work of the blessed Holy Spirit to confirm us, conform us. It is the beginning of a new creation. A new creature is born. A new people comes to birth. Those who believe, that is to say, those who live the obedience of faith, are born of God. That means they have God's life and made sharers in the divine life, sons in the Son. As St. Augustine put it nicely in commenting on this passage from John's Gospel, he says, "You were created through the Word, but now, through the Word, you must be recreated." Power of the Word. Here we can glimpse the face of the Church as a reality defined by acceptance of the Word of God, who, by taking flesh, came to pitch his tent among us. Eskenos in an emin from the prologue. This dwelling place of God among men, this Shekinah, prefigured in the Old Testament, is now fulfilled in God's definitive presence among us in Christ. The other day, I was out at the abortion clinic praying out in front with a beautiful group of people, and all of a sudden I realized our Lord, you see, is trying to defend those of the same race as himself. God belongs to the human race, and he's trying to defend the human race. He became man, flesh. Now, the next paragraph, 51, we'll just look at for a while. The relationship between Christ, the Word of the Father, and the Church cannot be fully understood in terms of a mere past event. Rather, it is a living relationship in which each member of the faithful is personally called to enter into. A living relationship. That means that we should, even if it's not emotionally satisfying, we should know that the Lord is there, hear his voice, obey him, move with him, be overwhelmed by his love, have confidence in his love. Now, it doesn't have to be emotional, but it has to be real. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, as he's probably going to say. We are speaking of the presence of God's Word to us today. Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. As Pope John Paul has said, Christ's relevance for people of all times is shown forth in his body, which is the Church. For this reason, the Lord promises disciples the Holy Spirit, who would bring to their remembrance and teach them to understand his commandments, and who would be the principal and constant source of a new life in the world. The Spirit's role is to bring the reality of Christ alive. It's a marvelous text I referred to before in 1 John 5, 6, I think. You know, it says, "This is he who came through water and blood." Not water alone, not just his baptism, but water and blood. And the Spirit bears witness, makes it real to us. The first verb, came, it's a participle. We don't have that kind of a participle in English. Ho elton. He is the coming one. And the Spirit is ho martirun, the present participle, the bearing witness. It's the Spirit that makes it all real to us. He's present to us, bringing all that Christ is and has done so that it's real to us. We're in union with Christ. We know him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, you see. The dogmatic constitution Dei Verbum expresses the mystery by using the biblical metaphor of a nuptial dialogue. God, who spoke in the past, continues to converse with the spouse of his beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit, through whom the living voice of the gospel rings out in the Church and through it in the world, leads believers to the full truth and makes the Word of Christ dwell in them in all its fullness. This is a Church document. supposed to be kind of dry, and you know, but it's not. You just hear what they said. And so, and the Holy Spirit, through whom the living voice of the gospel rings out in the church and through it to the world, leads believers to the full truth and makes the Word of God dwell in them in all its richness. What a thrill. Then the text goes on, the last part of this paragraph, 51. The Bride of Christ, the great teacher of the art of listening, today repeats in faith, "Speak, Lord, your church is listening." For this reason, the dogmatic constitution Dei Verbum intentionally begins, you see, the first word, Dei Verbum audiens, hearing the word reverently and proclaiming it confidently, this sacred council, and it goes on to speak. You see, here we encounter a dynamic definition of the church's life. With these words, the council indicates a defining aspect of the church. She is a community that hears and proclaims the Word of God. The church draws life, not from herself, but from the gospel, because these words are real. They bring the reality to us, not just hearsay. You know, one day Jesus did, one day God called Israel. Isn't that interesting? It's here, now. You see? The Word of God proclaimed and heard, and in the sacraments, Jesus says, "Today, here and now, to each person, I am yours. I give myself to you." What a thrill. I am yours. I give myself to you. This is the Almighty God. This is the Word of God talking this way to us. The church thus emerges as the milieu in which, by grace, we can experience what John tells us in the prologue of his gospel. To all who received him, he gave power to become children of God. Now that's this mystery of the Dei Verbum. Now, starting with the next chapter, paragraph number 52, the Word of God in the Sacred Liturgy. There, we're going to learn that the native home for Scripture is the liturgy. The place where Scripture is most alive and powerful is the liturgy, and the word preached at the liturgy. That is why it says in the document on the liturgy that when the sacred text is read out at the liturgy, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Isn't that amazing? And the homily is meant to be the servant and continuation of the preaching of Christ. That's why for the homily in the Mass, you see, you have to be a priest, a bishop, a priest, or a deacon. You have to have that imprint on your soul, the character imprinted, so that the Lord can use you. Not anybody can say, "This is my body, this is my blood." It has to be somebody used by Christ at that moment. It's the same at the preaching. Now, anybody can teach anybody in the church. The last three doctors of the church are all women. Two of them were not scholars at all. The last one, Edith Stein, she is already a doctor, yes. Catherine, Therese, and Teresa. No, the next one will be a scholar. But Therese, Teresa, and the third one, it just slips my mind. Oh, it's the other Teresa, and Catherine of Siena. And now the next one will be. Okay, the next one's a professional. Edith Stein. That's enough for that. We're now ready next time to look at the Word of God in the liturgy.